the course of a day, most of us use more than one tool to get what we need to get done. But what if you had to finish a normal day's work with just one tool? If you're a baker, say, do you choose the bowl, the cake pan, or the oven? Well, last spring, the Chipstone Foundation challenged artists from around Wisconsin and the world to create a work of art using only one tool. In March, artists displayed their creations at an event called the Tool at Hand Challenge, held at Sweetwater Organics in Bayview. Kevin Iris is a sculptor from Neenah whose lifelong fascination with trees drives him to recreate them in metal. So Iris rose to the challenge and decided he would create a brushed copper bonsai tree using only pliers. In a room filled with artists, laptops, hatchets, heat guns, and a sewing machine, material culture contributor Jennifer Fields found Iris sitting quietly on a folding chair, weaving a small tree.
I started out growing the tiny little bonsai trees when I was 17, but I got a little impatient, and I realized that you use wire to train the bonsais, and I just realized if I kept going with the wire, I could have a tree that I would enjoy in a matter of days versus years.
So talk to me about how you do what you do, because these trees are exquisite. What's the first step?
Well, the first step would be to get the wire off the roll. Wire usually comes on a roll, and I need to straighten it out to a certain degree so I can work with it. Otherwise, it just turns into a tangled mess immediately. You can imagine a bunch of curlicues. Sometimes the wire needs to be clean too before I work on it, otherwise it gets my hands very, very dirty. So I clean and straighten it, and I cut it to straight lengths, and I just kind of guess on the amount of numbers I need for the tree I want to make, and then I basically just start twisting them up. And with the little trees here, like with the copper, I can do almost all the twisting with my hands, but I do make bigger trees that, even some of them are like 3 foot by 3 foot. And then I work up into aluminum, and then I get into a little bit of cold forging, and I do all kinds of crazy things to twist those trees up tight at that point. I wrestle with them when they get big, because, I mean, some of them have trunks up to 5 inches across. They get pretty big.
What is it about wire that gets you to do these very complicated and intricate things? Because this is not something you can bang out in 5 minutes.
True, but a bonsai tree to, take one and grow it, that can take up to, 10, 15 years. This way, I can get a tree that I like, and the wire allows me more flexibility. Nature is, nature kind of goes the way she wants to, so to really, it allows me more to get a tree of the style I like. I don't have to fight with nature when I'm working with the wire. I do have to fight with the wire to a certain degree, but fighting with the wire is easier than trying. You got to let nature do its thing. With the wire, I have total control. I can make the tree I want, and I don't have to wait 60 years.
Okay, do you have control issues?
No, I don't think so. Not with people. Over the wire, yes, I do. I want that tree. I want every leaf on that tree to be exactly where I want it. It's funny. I'm trying to chase down. You can't make a perfect tree. But I still keep trying.
Why?
I don't know. There's something that I'm entranced. There's something enchanting about the trees. The bend of a branch. And trees mechanically are very interesting. They support an amazing amount of weight with very little material, and there's something beautiful in that too. I don't know, I just, it's one of those things. I think all artists do that. I mean, we're all chasing something that we can never catch. And we just keep chasing and chasing and chasing, and that's both a blessing and a curse we have, I think. So, yeah, why do I keep doing it? Because I can never get it perfect.
Where does doing this take you?
This is meditation for me. To have one come out right, you got to be focused. And the more complex they are, they're kind of hard to hold in your head as a whole. Because, I mean, as a sculpture, there's a lot of 3D in there. There's a lot of stuff. And, yeah, it's definitely something that slows down my heartbeat, makes me focus, and makes me sit down for more than 3 minutes at a crack, which I don't normally do.
So do you have a preconceived idea of how this is going to be, or do you let the wire guide you?
Both. I try and do both. There's times when I have a tree in my head that I want to work out as a design, but then there's times when I'll just pick up some wire and I'll just let the tree kind of happen naturally. Both of them are fun.
Are you ever surprised, even though you're the one working on it, is there a moment where you're like, oh, wow, this is what this is going to be? What's the moment where it crystallizes for you, like what this tree is actually going to look like when you're done?
Sometimes it's like, hey, I can't be the person making these. I must be being possessed by somebody, and they're just using my hands. So it's really funny, and there's been times when I've started trees, and I said, I'm going to go this way, but then the tree decides to go somewhere else, and you know, you wonder where that inspiration comes from, and to tell you the truth, I don't know. I'm just so glad it's here.
Our material culture contributor Jonifer Fields produces and curates the series It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. Fields is a material culture student at UW-Madison, and she met up with Neenah-based sculptor Kevin Iris at the Chipstone Foundation's Tool at Hand Challenge held in Bayview this past March. We'll take one last break and then head over to the Harley Museum to get a preview of their newest exhibit, Worn to be Wild. Lake Effect returns in just a moment on WUWM.